Unbelief, what does it do? It excludes a man from the pardon of sin. There's no way of salvation if you do not believe upon Christ. We could go through list after list of things you can achieve in life, and none of it can save. Because the Savior said, if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Unbelief here as well excludes a man from all the saving benefits of Christ. Everything that Christ does for the sinner, saving him and cleansing his heart and washing him in his precious blood, and the friend that sticketh closer than any brother, all these benefits, the benefit of eternal life, all these things the sinner is excluded from.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. You've been listening to Grace, 'Tis a Charming Sound. Thank you for joining with us today. We welcome you to our program. And we're going to go now to our pulpit in Cloverdale for the second part of the message, The Greatness of God's Love, based on John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
God so loved the world. What a passion he had for us. What a love that he gave his only begotten Son. When we think of Remembrance Day that is coming up, we think of many who gave their lives for freedom. Many who laid down their lives. The scripture speaks about no greater love hath a man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And we see that when we think of remembrance. Those who lay down their lives for friends and family and the future of their nation. And we think of the Savior who laid down his life for those who were his enemies, but those who he would redeem to be his friends. God laid down the life of his Son for those who were his enemies. In regard to this great love, it was the Puritan theologian John Owen who said, "Now this love we say to be that greater than which there is none." In other words, there's no greater love than God's love. What a great love he had. He loved a perishing world. He loved a perishing world. Oh, tonight, if you're outside of Christ, think upon that. God loved a world that hated him. God loved a world that was perishing because of sin. God sent his only begotten Son to be your Savior, to be the Savior of those who were perishing. Oh, that you would turn and look to him and believe this text. Believe in him, and then you will not perish. Oh, dear believer, when we think that he loved a perishing world, what are our thoughts about the perishing world? Isn't it great that those who blaspheme the name of God and those who push their sinful and wicked agendas will perish in hell forever? Do we rejoice in that? Many will. But do we love that perishing world? Do we desire those who are perishing to see Christ and to know Christ and to believe in Christ? There's a great motive here for our evangelism. Personal evangelism. The preaching of the gospel in and through the church of Christ. Reaching out to the world because God's love is so great. He loved a perishing world. Let us never forget that we were dead in our sins, yet God loved us who were perishing. And let us also love, by God's grace, a perishing world. To have time to pray for them and have time to witness for them and seek God's help in opportunities to reach out into this perishing world for the gospel. Secondly, here I want you to see that he loved by sacrificing his only Son. He loved by sacrificing his only Son. Notice what it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." God gave something. His love led to an action. We've said that this morning, I believe. We said that before. Love leads to action. Love leads to action. If we love someone, we'll do things for them. And we should be doing those things out of love. And God here loved us, and he did something. And he did something that is a great picture of this love. He sent his only Son, his only begotten Son, into the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he sent his only begotten Son into this world to die, to perish. He rose again, but to die and to endure suffering and to endure pain. And to lay down his life as a sacrifice. He loved us by sending his Son into this world that he would be sacrificed. Matthew Henry said that Christ came into the world with salvation in his eye, with salvation in his hand. Therefore, the aforementioned offer of life and salvation is sincere and shall be made good to all that by faith accept it. Christ came into the world, given by God, that we would believe upon him and have everlasting life. That was the purpose of his coming. the purpose of his coming. Oh, how many today, even in the time of Christ when he lived, thought that he came as a political king, came to save them from the Romans, came to set up a new kingdom, came to emancipate Israel from the Roman Empire. But Christ's purpose was much greater, to redeem his people from their sins. That was the purpose. That's that thread running through the Old Testament scriptures. Christ came to redeem, and Christ came to save. There's an old Puritan who challenges us by saying, "Doth your love toward God hold the same course that his love doth hold toward you? All that God hath done or will do for his own chosen is the product of electing love. Does all your obedience arise from love, and does this love of yours grow out of his? Is his electing love the root of it all?" What if our love to Christ, what if our love to God is his love to us? We love him because he first loved us, we read this morning. He loved us in sacrificing his only son. He loved us in giving his son for us as the only sacrifice, as the only mediator, laying down his life that we would be saved. Dear believer, what if your love toward God, is it the same love? Is it a sacrificial love? That because Christ redeemed you and Christ saved you and Christ lifted you out of the mire and placed you on the solid rock, that you desire to sacrifice for him, to sacrifice the fleshly lusts, to sacrifice those sinful desires, to set them aside by the help of God, to live for Christ, to sacrifice your time, to sacrifice your energy for the cause of Christ, to sacrifice your comfort for the cause of Christ, to sacrifice time in coming and praying and seeking God to save and move, spending time in the worship of God. There are any people, and well, the things of this world, the entertainments of this world are more attractive to them than Christ. More attractive than the Savior, more attractive than the worship of God. What's more important, to engage in competitive sport on a Sunday, or to watch it, to support it, to be engaged in it, than it is to meet with God? And how many put that first? How many put first other entertainment and other activities before the God of heaven, yet the one who sacrificed his own son for them, yet Christ is not preeminent in their lives? And dear believer, because of this sacrificial love, we should value the sacrifice of Christ. We should value his salvation. We should value what he has accomplished for us. He should have the preeminence in our lives. He should be first. Oh, there's entertainment we want to do. There's a game that we want to watch. But it clashes with the Sunday service. It clashes with the prayer meeting. What would come first? Well, we can download the sermon later, but you could actually be there and spending time with the people of God. What comes first? We think of this great sacrifice. What comes first for us? Are we willing to sacrifice for Christ, who sacrificed so much for us? And dear unsaved person tonight, what about this sacrifice, laying down his only son, God did, to redeem sinners? That great price that was paid to redeem you and to redeem your soul. Oh, that you would turn to the Lord because of this great love that he has. And we see, thirdly and finally then, he loved in giving sinners eternal life. He loved in giving sinners eternal life. And why is that? Because sinners don't deserve eternal life. They deserve eternal death. And they were facing eternal death. That is what perishing means. Dying and dying physically and dying spiritually and dying eternally. And those who believe upon him, those who are saved, those who look to the Savior. And Christ is saying, Nicodemus, you're to look to me. You're to believe upon the Son of God. And if you do so, you will not perish. You will have eternal life, coming back to the brazen serpent in the wilderness. If they looked upon that serpent, they would live. And they're to look on Christ, not a mere glance, but a look of belief, a look of faith, a look of repentance. It's a complete salvation, and we see that here. Everlasting life. Eternal life, not eternal death, everlasting life. The opposite to what we deserve as sinners. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And the gospel tonight is offering you everlasting life. The gospel tonight is setting before you the forgiveness of sins, and because of that, life everlasting. The greatest news this world could give you, the greatest news that you can find in society, the greatest news you could find throughout history is this, that those who believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Or will you believe that this evening? It's a life eternal. It's a spiritual life. It's a blessed life. It's a life of peace and joy and satisfaction. It's a life of certainty. A life of certainty. Oh, there is uncertainty about the grave and uncertainty about death, but Christ makes that certain. You can know you're the end of your soul. You can know that you have life everlasting. The promise is here. Those who believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Savior himself said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And throughout Christ's ministry, and even here, verse 15 and verse 16, we have this eternal, everlasting life offered in the gospel. Do you desire that tonight? In history, men went around the world trying to find the fountain of youth. The fountain of youth. If you look at some individuals, perhaps you might think they found the fountain of youth. Maybe in their 50s or 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and they look well for that age. But the fountain of youth that many sought to find, that mythic, fabled fountain, does not exist. But men have tried and desired, why? Everlasting life. No death, living forever, being young. The fountain of youth, or the fountain of life, exists. It's found in Christ. A fountain that heals us from that disease that will spiritually and eternally destroy us. And Christ offers to us that everlasting life in the gospel. But have everlasting life. Dear sinner, tonight, will you turn from your sin and accept Christ? Have that life, have that peace, that joy that it brings. Well, that you would turn and believe the message of God's love, that great love. Dear believer, tonight as we close, everlasting life through Christ is what this perishing world needs. Does that motivate us to witness? Maybe tomorrow you have an opportunity to witness. Something will come up in conversation. Friend or family member or colleague will mention something, and maybe in times gone by you've ignored what could be that springboard to talk about Christ and spiritual things. But it comes before you again. Think on what we're saying tonight. There's a perishing world. There's a sacrifice of Christ. There's eternal life. And you have that message. And you have that gospel. Will you share it? Will you spread it? Will you tell the lost that there is a great God who loved this world and gave His Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life? Seek the Lord for opportunities this week to speak for Him and to say a word in season. I remember one night going to work in the supermarket. I worked night shift. I couldn't do it now. Working from about 11 at night to 8 in the morning, going home and sleeping for a few hours and doing bits and pieces, and then sleeping for another few hours and doing it all over again. But one night I was working, I kept walking past the reduced section with the out-of-date food, and my father was there. And then I realized he was still there, and he was there for about an hour talking. And he was there looking at the reduced section, looking for free food, I don't know. And this couple walked by, and they looked there too, and this man took something out of his pocket. And he tried to slip it into my father's hand. And he took one look at it, realized what it was. It's a tract from the Jehovah's Witnesses. And, well, that sparked a long conversation. A long conversation. I think they almost had to be put out of the store because it was closing. But we find many who have their own faith that is not of Christ. Faith that we consider to be a cult and a false faith filled with false doctrine. And they desired to spread that. We have the truth. Where's our desire? Maybe we shouldn't walk to people and try and slip something in their hand. There's ways and means of doing that. But the point is, where is the desire that we have to spread this great message? The gospel in a nutshell. The gospel in miniature. The gospel summarized. Do we have a desire to spread it? I maybe said before, same supermarket I was working one time. I helped this lady bag her shopping. I put the money in the checkout. I closed it all up. I turned around to the next customer. She left a little card. It said, thank you. Flipped it over, knowing well what it was the other side. It's a gospel tract. Simply explaining the gospel. She never told me she was a Christian. She never told me, you know, you're a sinner, you're going to hell, you need to be saved. She said nothing. She simply put that down, appreciating help, and the gospel was the other side. Now, I was saved at that time, but something very simple she did. There's simple things we can do. Simple things we can do. We can work diligently. We can talk well and have good conversation, not use the language of the world. We can testify of Christ by being different in that way. We can testify of Christ by simply sharing different ways His gospel. If we feel we can't talk to people, seek the Lord for help to do so, but we can share the gospel without talking. How simple it can be sometimes, and God can bless that. But let us think of this text, and may it encourage us to go out into the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless His word tonight for His name's sake.
Spurgeon brings us today to 2 Kings chapter 7 and the verse 3. Why sit we here until we die? Dear reader, this little book was mainly intended for the edification of believers, but if you're yet unsaved, our heart yearns over you, and we would fain say a word which may be blessed to you. Open your Bible and read the story of the lepers and mark their position, which was much the same as yours. If you remain where you are, you must perish. If you go to Jesus, you can but die. Nothing venture, nothing win, is the old proverb, and in your case the venture is no great one. If you sit in sullen despair, no one can pity you when your ruin comes, But if you die with mercy sought, if such a thing were possible, you would be the object of universal sympathy. None escape who refuse to look to Jesus. But you know what? At any rate, some are saved who believe in him. For certain of your own acquaintances have received mercy. Then why not you? The Ninevite said, who can tell? Act upon the same hope, and try the Lord's mercy. To perish is so awful, that if there were but a straw to catch at, the instinct of self-preservation should lead you to stretch out your hand. We have thus been talking to you on your own unbelieving ground. We would now assure you, as far from the Lord, that if you seek him, he will be found of you. Jesus casts out none who come unto him. You shall not perish if you trust in him. On the contrary, you shall find treasure far richer than the poor lepers gathered in Syria's deserted camp. May the Holy Spirit embolden you to go at once, and you shall not believe in vain. When you are saved yourself, publish the good news to others. Hold not your peace. Tell the king's household first, and unite with them in fellowship. Let the porter of the city, the minister, be informed of your discovery, and then proclaim the good news in every place. The Lord save thee, ere the sun goes down this day. We trust that this program has been a blessing to your own heart and soul. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, and I'm Andrew Fitton. Why sit we here until we die? Do you know Christ as Saviour? This is one of the purposes of our programs, that sinners would see their need of a Saviour, and that through the grace of God, they would come and repent of sin and know the forgiveness of their sins through Christ alone. Today, do you have that assurance? Do you have that peace, that joy that the salvation of Christ brings? Oh, that you would know and you could testify, he is my Saviour, he's my Lord, he's my King, and he's my Master. I love the Saviour because he first loved me. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.